Tonight we were going to be talking about the calm soul is the blameless soul, but we're not going to be talking about that tonight. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible there teaches something great about God. There the Bible teaches us, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Doesn't teach much about us. Teach a lot about who God is. That he was willing to forgive us, put a plan in motion, even though we were against him. Sin separates us from God. And those who understand that they need to hurry up and get to that cleansing power before it's eternally too late. The reason why I want us to talk about this tonight by way of encouragement, by way of reminder. I know you remember that day that you were baptized into Christ. Remember that day in which all of your sins were washed away. You think about that great day, you know that God excused everything that you did because of the blood of Christ. What a blessing. To know that everything that you have done in the past that was an affront to God, that caused our Lord to have to be put on a cross, 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21, all of those things are done. You come up out of that water and you're just ecstatic. You're thankful. You're grateful. You know, I thought about this when I was watching today Undercover Boss. And it's just something about that show that just reminds me of the goodness of our God. It's a young lady, her name Lexi. It's interesting that she had accumulated a lot of debt because of school. Trying to do her best, young lady. And in trying to do her best, she had to eventually move back home, causing a financial strain. Yet she was one of the greatest workers where she was. She's pursuing her education, already accumulated $50,000 worth of debt. Yet, she had the attitude she was going to go forward. You know how they do in that show as it relates to how the boss reveals himself. In the revelation of himself, he says some great things about her, who she is, her character, and how she was a hard worker and really did the company well, if you will. First thing he says that we're going to make the environment better for you. We're going to make sure that the cash register system doesn't fail on you so you can do a good job for us. We appreciate you. Secondly, he said, we're going to give you $5,000 because what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that your housing situation is taken care of. She says, no. He says, yes. He asked her, how much debt have you accumulated thus far in going to school? $50,000. She said, we're going to take care of all of that. She says, no, I can't let you do that. He says, we're doing it. She burst out in tears. Then he says, now I'm going to give you $10,000 so you can further your education. She says, can I hug you? I said all that to say this. I remember that day that I obeyed the gospel. I remember from that time forward what God forgave me for. Here it is 20 years later, still reflect on that day, what God forgave me for. I think sometimes we forget what God forgave us for. We forget why our Lord had to go to the cross. I want us to illustrate this with the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, you remember Saul and his sons died by the hands of the Philistines. You remember that, Pope Joy? It was a sad day this day. In this particular day, the Philistines overcame Jonathan and his brother and Saul, and Saul was lingering on, and well, he didn't die immediately, but he thrust himself on his sword. News got back to David in 2 Samuel chapter 1, and David is distraught. As a matter of fact, he's hurting. It's unfortunate that the armor bearer there came and tried to take credit for it, and well, he lost his life because he lied. He shouldn't have done that. Here's the point. David, because of the love that he and Jonathan had for one another and the things that they went through with one another, he felt compelled. As a matter of fact, he felt indebted to him. You know, I think about that in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Let's turn our Bibles there. And I want us to take notice of something that I believe will help us to have a better appreciation for having our sins washed away and being a participant, if you will, or a recipient of the demonstration of the grace and mercy of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, in the first three verses, we find that David realized that he wanted to extend some mercy, some kindness. Notice what your Bible here has to say. And friends, I want us to take this into consideration and keep in mind that the very fact that God has forgiven us of our sins, we ought to be ready and willing to serve him and to be thankful toward him. Notice, and David said, chapter 9, verse 1, is there any left that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not any, yet any, of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. And immediately when I saw that passage, and I was reminded of that show, and I was sitting there thinking about that. I'm like, you know, it's interesting that God saw something in us that he was willing to send his son for us, thus showing his kindness to us. And then it took me to Titus chapter 3. Turn to Titus chapter 3 and put your finger there in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll be right back here in a minute. In Titus chapter 3, friends, there's no way that man could make this up. Only God could have done this. In Titus chapter 3, starting at verse number 3, notice what your Bible there has to say. For we ourselves also sometimes foolish. This is Paul speaking by inspiration to Titus, his son, in the gospel. Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Friends, does that sound like your former life? I fit in there somewhere. But notice what he says. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hold on. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, is there anyone that I can show kindness to the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake? See the parallel? Here we are recipients of the kindness of God because of Jesus' sake, not our own. And then I thought about that more and more, and look at verses 4 and following in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And the king said unto him, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, notice this, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, notice, he fell on his face and did reverence. Now, I want us to stop there. Because every time, Evelyn, I see that undercover boss and I see those individuals who are showing great gratitude to the one that is giving them these things because they see something in them, they're not giving them a handout. Friends, these individuals see something in them that has great potential. Just like God saw something in us that had great potential. God is not giving us a handout. God wants us to be recipients of his kindness so we can turn around and be grateful and thankful and then serve him. I thought about this. Mephibosheth understood his position before the king. He kneels down before David and he says unto him that I am nothing but a dead dog in front of you. Notice his attitude. And sometimes as members of the Lord's church, Mike Barnard sometimes gets a little bit too high for himself. I think some of y'all could put y'all name in the same blank. Sometimes we get too high on ourselves and we realize that, well, I'm really actually better than what I thought I was. No, truth be told, the one that's offering the salvation, he gave it to us because we could not have nothing to give back to him but ourselves. Mephibosheth understood that I'm going before this king. I don't deserve to be even in his presence. But then can you imagine when he was blessed to be able to eat at his table, to be able to have the servants? Wow. Yeah, I was born lame. I'm in a position where I can't really do much. And now I'm sitting at the king's table benefiting. How about us? Here, we were lost in our sins, Nate. We couldn't do nothing for our sins. You can't work out your salvation enough to have your sins washed away without the blood of Christ. Here, we see this man realizes his state in front of King David. In verse number 8, he says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon him? Or look upon such a dead dog as I am. You know, in our family Bible hour, the kids are learning about Mephibosheth. And little Nate always brings up this. I don't know why he remembers that, but he always remembers that. I venture to say maybe he remembers that because of his humble state of mind himself. And sometimes when we look at who God is, we got to see who we are. So I go back to this show and I'm like, these individuals understood that they couldn't do anything for themselves. And here they're receiving these blessings. And as they're receiving these blessings, they're pouring out their gratitude. They're thankful for them. And it always say 2 weeks later, they're still there or they're doing something good. They're trying to work out their way on their job. You know, I thought about that for us. Go to Luke chapter 7. Friends, I know this is going to be foreign because some believe that all love is equal, but it's not. There are some that love the Lord more than others. We know that to be a fact because Jesus himself draws out this very powerful point and is worthy of our consideration. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 40. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now, both of them owed, yet one owed one and another owed another. And then notice what he says. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Both of them are forgiven and both of them love. But notice, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, you have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see, this woman, I entered into her house. Into thine house thou gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not stopped kissing my feet. My head with oil thou dost not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they said, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is he that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Notice, she realized her position before the Savior. And her service to the Savior was different than Simon Peter. And he was an apostle, a disciple. Yet, she realized her position before this great King, before this great Lord, this great Master, Jesus the Christ. She understood her position. Question. Do we understand our position before God? Those who have been forgiven most tend to love most. Question. What has God forgiven you for? And question. Do you remember? Friends, I truly believe that many in the church, because of great distractions, we forget how much God has forgiven us for. We can even bring that home amongst our own brethren, family members. Sometimes you have individuals in the family that get involved in great atrocities, if you will, great sins. They just do things that's just way out of bounds. Someone in the family says, don't worry about it. We can get through this. It's going to be all right. And they work those things out, whether siblings, husband and wife, cousins, it doesn't matter. And the relationship is stronger because of it. But then there may be those in the family that they may just do small things. Well, there's not much to forgive, not much to love there. You know, even in the church, sometimes brethren get crossways with one another. You know, it's okay to go ahead and get those things straightened out. You'll love one another more after you get them straightened out. But if you don't get them straightened out, there's not going to be a lot of love there. It's amazing that God is always constant. We're the ones that transgress against him. Yet, the salvation of the Lord, the long-suffering of God, I'm sorry, is salvation. And the very fact that he waits on us and he gives us time. And when we have been forgiven and we know that our conscience has been cleansed from that particular fault against God, we say, thank you. We're like Mephibosheth. I'm like as a dead dog in front of you. Or when we have been forgiven of some great debt, we're thankful for that person who has forgiven us for that. And then we turn around and we serve. We turn around and we give well wishes. We turn around and we say, thank you. And the proper response for someone that has done something nice for you, if someone's providing for you, if someone forgives you of sin and only God can forgive sins, the proper response is thank you and serve. That's the proper response. I can prove that. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29 through verse 39, we come across the Ethiopian treasurer. The Ethiopian treasurer, remember, he is in the chariot and he is reading Isaiah the prophet, verse number 28. The Spirit tells Philip to go and join yourself to that chariot. Philip joins himself to the chariot, begins to teach the Ethiopian treasurer. The next thing you know, we find this Ethiopian treasurer and he's asking a great question. Who is he talking about? Some other man or himself? Then he asks this grand old question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? The next thing you know, he's going down in the water, both of them. The Bible teaches us that he comes up out of the water rejoicing. Question. Are you still rejoicing because your sins have been washed away? Friends, we grow cold. It is to our best interest. Listen to this. If you don't hear nothing else I said. It's to our best interest to keep our hearts as soft as possible that God may mold them. A hard heart never, ever will be molded by God. Ask Pharaoh. But a soft heart, one like Mephibosheth, one who realizes his state and his position before a great king. We have to understand our state and our position before the great king. Come up out of that water rejoicing. Yet, even in the midst of the trials and the troubles and the tribulation, we remain steadfast. The idea of meek is one who can remain steadfast in the midst of all turbulence. This is why his strength under control. I learned about this word that when this word first came out, Nate, the word meek literally has the idea of equilibrium. He is one that is equal. Doesn't matter what comes his way. He finds himself in a way that he can equal or make things equal in his life. Question. Will the things of this life cause us to plummet into sin or to go the heights of arrogance? Or should we be a people who learn how to be equalized? There's another situation, Acts 3, verse 1 through 11. Here we come across a lame man. Don't have time to go through all of this, but I do want to make a point. There are some situations that people are born into. This man was born lame. He was born that way. From his mother's womb, the Bible says. Sometimes people are dealt a bad hand in life. But here, this man was taken to the gate called Beautiful every single day, if you will. And he was asking an alms. He was given a physical blessing, if you will. But this day was a great day for him. And the reason why, because he was going to receive a physical blessing, but it was going to turn out to be spiritual. Because when he was healed, and of course, Mark 16 and verse number 20, we understand that miracles are designed to confirm the word. And the very fact that the word was being confirmed, this man here begins to leap, he begins to praise God, and he begins to walk. What's the point? He realized his state. He realized the state that he was in. And he realized the blessing that he received. And he turned around and gave thanks. Question. What situation you're in? Are you thankful? Are you grateful to God? When someone does something nice for you, do you say thank you? Do you serve? The proper response to God, because he has washed away our sins through the blood of Christ and our submission to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the proper response is this, friends. We serve God. That's the proper response. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how young we are. If we're young, then we learn how to serve. If we're older, then we need to keep on serving. And we serve till we die. That's one thing I love about being a preacher. There is no retirement. I'm preaching till I die. Hold on. In Christianity, there's no retirement. We're faithful even to the point of death. I thought about this. I'm thankful. Undeserving. About you. We need to be reminded that all of us have committed sin. If you was baptized into Christ, it's because you realized that you sinned against God. And because you sinned against God, Psalm 51, you ought to turn around and serve him because you was baptized and God says, I'll take care of all of that. Question. What are you doing for the church? How are you serving the Lord? Janet Jackson came out with a song a few years ago, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" Y'all look that up. What have you done for the Lord lately? I need us to consider that. Because one thing we know about God, He did His part. We got to do our part. You realize your spiritual condition? It's good to have y'all here tonight. We're thankful for you being here. But never forget where God brought you from. If you're not a child of God, I want you to consider. We want you to consider being a child of God because of this. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. The very fact that Jesus came to this earth was to save men from their sins. If you committed sin, you need to be baptized to have all of your sins washed away. I know the world is saying you can just ask Jesus in your heart, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that we must obey the gospel. The power of God is in the gospel. Christ Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. The power and wisdom of God teaches that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will save you from your sins. But if you're a child of God and you have forgotten that God saved you from your sins, please reconsider that. Because Peter had something to say about that. When a Christian who leaves the beggarly elements of the world and obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ and then goes back into the beggarly elements of the world is like a dog turned into his own vomit. And Peter is saying, we don't want that. God is saying, we don't want that. And we ought to be saying, I don't want that. So therefore, I need to get focus. I heard this, and I'll let you go. If you want to ride a motorcycle or a dirt bike, you got to be focused. Thought about that. If you want to be a Christian, you got to stay focused. Got to stay focused. And that's why we're here, to help one another stay focused. Stay focused on what? What Jesus did for us. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.